I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, thank you very much, Earl Forsey. We are with you for hour number two in for Dukes, who should be back tomorrow. I'm Chris Russell, a.k.a. The Rooster. Get more into Super Bowl 54. Don't worry, we got plenty of other things to get to. We'll get to the Nats and Arenado. We'll get to all sorts of things. Rick Snyder wrote a column for thefandc.com about the Wizards, who somehow are like, I don't know, a couple of games out of a playoff spot despite being like 12 games under 500. That's the NBA for you, kids. I don't know what to tell you there. We'll get to Joe Beninati and the Caps coming up at the bottom of the hour. But joining us right now, I was listening to him on the way home last night, speaking of the NBA, ripping Kyrie Irving, and I liked it. I liked it a lot. It's Zach Gelb. You can follow him on Twitter, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB, as well. Listen to him on CBS Sports Radio Monday through Friday, 6 to 10, and the radio.com app. And he's with us here on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Hey, Zach, what's going on, man? How are you?
Chris, doing great. Appreciate it. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. Let's start with that. I was listening to you last night. It was last night, yeah, on my way home. And you were shredding Kyrie Irving, who's been in and out of the lineup for the Brooklyn Nets, about what he said about Martin Luther King and what he kind of compares himself to. I know that guy's a certifiable lunatic. Do people in Brooklyn and New York and that area, are they already ready to get rid of him and file for divorce? Or are they like, nah, it's okay, he's just a little frustrated?
Well, you know what the landscape is in New York basketball. Even though the Knicks have been miserable and awful for a long time, there's just more of a fan base there. So the Nets are, you know, making noise, obviously, because of Kyrie and KD going there. But this year's really a wash, in my opinion, the way that I look at it. But it's amazing to me, in a league that prides itself off drama and really not caring about the regular season games anymore, and that's what it's been the last few years, how Kyrie Irving, when it's all going his way and people are supporting him, he's loving the drama. And I know his talent built him up into a superstar, but that drama is part of it too. And now when things start to not go his way and people question his leadership skills, which is totally fair, he's getting all tired and fed up with the system. The bottom line for me is Kyrie wanted to be here. This is the team Kyrie picked. I know this year is going to be frustrating without Kevin Durant, but he keeps on making himself his own worst enemy. And like what I was saying last night, if you don't like the drama that goes with the game that makes you millions and millions of dollars, well, then go retire. Yeah. And go live on an island somewhere and enjoy life, and you won't have to deal with anything.
No, that's more than fair point. Zach Gelb, CBS Sports Radio, joining us. All right, let's get off of that. And let's get your thoughts on Super Bowl 54. So I was asking this question, you know, because obviously Andy Reid is the sentimental choice, right? He's been at this for a while. He's a really good coach. Fun team. Chiefs in the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years. So I know America, from a sentimental standpoint and from a rooting standpoint, is going for Andy Reid. However, you know, Kyle Shanahan represents kind of like this, you know, new guard, new wave. Sometimes he likes to throw a lot of times he likes to run and maul people to death. And he's got a bad history here in Washington. Who, I knew you were in Philadelphia for a while. Who are you rooting for, particularly from either one of these two head coaches? Because I'm not familiar with your thoughts and your feelings when Andy was, say, in Philadelphia, and Andy in general.
I've always been a supporter of Andy Reid in terms of, I think he's a good football coach, a very, very, very good football coach. But you look at the postseason blunders, and I've been hesitant to say that he's no doubt about it, 100% locked for the Hall of Fame. I do think he's going to get in, and I thought this was their year before the season did start. But you look at those blunders in the postseason, whether it was in Philadelphia with Rondae Barber and the interception, losing to the Carolina Panthers, even in Kansas City, where they choked and didn't give the football to Kareem Hunt in the second half when Kelsey got hurt, and they lost to Tennessee, and then before that with Andrew Luck comeback as well. So I like Andy Reid. I would not mind him winning a Super Bowl, because then it could put away this debate, because the only detractors, like people like myself, have is that, hey, he's a great coach in the regular season, but in the postseason, he's sitting there right now with the 500 record. But this team has so much talent. I think Andy Reid, you know, you look at what he's been able to do in Philadelphia and Kansas City. It's very impressive. So in terms of who I'm rooting for, you know, I wouldn't mind if Andy Reid wins, but I also wouldn't mind if Kyle Shanahan wins, because, you know, you look back at that story of him being a part of that staff that blew the 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl up against the Patriots. And, you know, I just thought it was very cool to see him run the football, for 220 yards with Mostert and four touchdowns.
Right.
And Jimmy G only had three passing attempts in that second half. And they said, okay, we're going to line it up and we're going to run the football and there's nothing you could do. So I think both have good storylines, but clearly, you know, I do think the Andy Reid story, like you're saying, nationally, is going to be the one that people are going to have sentimental. And who can't root for, you know, Big Red, especially after the game where he's talking about, I'm not really celebrating. All I'm doing is just going to eat a cheeseburger.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing.
Sure,
I mean,
you can too.
We should make it clear. There's nothing wrong with eating a cheeseburger. I know Rome did a big thing on that. And, you know, typical Romy about, you know, the cheeseburger. Listen, I'm a big guy. I love a cheeseburger. What the hell else should you do after winning the AFC championship other than eat a cheeseburger and go for a 6-hour nap?
I'm with you, especially when you've been close before. This should not be something that you really are jumping up and down like a fat kid in a candy store about. You should just be ready to get to go in 2 weeks and finally get that big monkey off your back and go win that ring.
Zach Gelb with us, CBS Sports Radio. You can listen to him on the radio.com app weeknights, 6 to 10, right, Zach? Is that the official time, full time? Okay. So, and occasionally here, of course, on 106.7 The Fan as well. Let me get to this. From a giant, and I know you spent time in New York, Philadelphia. The Giants hired Jason Garrett as their offensive coordinator after hiring, you know, somebody that nobody knew who he was until literally he was hired, Joe Judge, as their head coach. How is that sitting with Giant faithful, one? And do you think Jason, that was the right thing for Jason Garrett? Because to me, the way I looked at Jason Garrett with his personality, I almost looked at him as being maybe a better fit on the collegiate level and where he can kind of be a fostering, nurturing kind of guy to 19 and 20-year-olds, as opposed to being an offensive coordinator in the same division as he was the head coach for 10 years in.
It seems like to me Jason Garrett's going to find a way to be like the next Detroit Lions head coach. I think he'll be a head coach again in the National Football League, but when they hire him, I don't think it's going to be in a city where you sit there and you say, wow, you know, that's a big job that Jason Garrett got. You know, maybe a little bit similar to Caldwell after leaving Indianapolis and going to Detroit to get that head coaching gig. I think it's split on the reaction. Every time someone says, oh, I didn't want Jason Garrett there, I say, well, who else would you have wanted to be the offensive coordinator? And we did this segment on my show, and really, there's not a great list of names. Like, I know that the Eagles job right now, they've been looking at a bevy of names too, and these names just aren't really that attractive. So for Joe Judge, like you're saying, someone that doesn't have head coaching experience, even though Garrett wasn't a great head coach, I don't think it was the worst thing in the world. Because remember, defensively, they brought in Patrick Graham to be the DC. He doesn't have head coaching experience.
Right.
So, you know, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world bringing in Jason Garrett. Does it make you feel great? No. But I don't think it's horrible.
I think it's good for the Giants. I wondered whether it was good for Garrett. Now, I understand many head coaching jobs, like even on the college level, certainly for any good program, wasn't going to be available. So maybe it was work or take the year off and whatever. Zach Gelb with us, CBS Sports Radio. Keep you for another minute or so. So as you look ahead to like this offseason in the NFL across the landscape, say the non-two Super Bowl teams, is your biggest storyline where the hell is Tom Brady going to go? Or are you like me where it's not only Tom Brady? I mean, this is one of those rare things where you have Tom Brady, you have Drew Brees, you have Teddy Bridgewater, you have Phillip Rivers, you have Jameis. I mean, where are all these guys going to go? It's going to be insane in March.
Yeah, I agree with you. Obviously, Brady is the lead, but I do find it comical how everyone breaks down each and every Instagram post or each and every interview that he gives nothing to Westwood One and Jim Gray about. I think people are just trying to make storylines there, but the Brady news is definitely big. You look at the teams, Chicago, what will they do? Who they're going to bring in to challenge Mitch Trubisky? If I'm the Bucks, I'm not bringing back Jameis Winston on a long-term deal. So how could that be an attractive destination as well with Bruce Arians there? But the team I look at, really, you know, the two attractive teams, if you need a quarterback and you want to go in this free agent market, I really do believe it's Chicago and then Tennessee. I don't know if it's a slam dunk that Ryan Tannehill's back next year, even though he played well and he changed that team around. But it's going to depend on what the market is going to be for him. So I think it's very compelling. It's very interesting. You know, Rivers, I think, will play next year. Eli Manning, I think, will be retired. And my gut tells me right now that I do believe Tom Brady will be back with the Patriots. But if Brady wants to get the most money possible and Belichick pushes back on that, maybe Brady says, I'm going to take my talents and go somewhere else.
I got Brady in Tennessee. What do you think about that with Vrabel and Tannehill and Mariota as free agents?
If he's going to leave, you know, the two places that really come to mind, or three, would be Chicago, which I don't think that's the move Chicago's going to make, Tennessee, and then maybe the Chargers. But Tennessee's not a bad one, especially with that connection with Vrabel, and you also have a few other former Patriots there. I just have a feeling, though, Brady likes to play this game right now, and he likes to test the waters knowing that this is close to the end for him, and I really do believe Kraft's going to do whatever it takes, even if it means overriding Belichick to get him back in New England.
Good spot, Zach. I worked with your dad 25 years ago. He helped He helped me out at FAN, and he got me started in this crazy, stupid career of ours. So tell him I said hey, and you know, and it's a long story there, but you know, he helped me out. So I it's great to have you on, and it also tells me I'm really freaking old.
Well, he'd always just tell me don't get involved in the business, but I'm glad I did.
There you go.
And I'll make sure that he, you know, says hello back to you. I'll get you guys in contact.
Will do. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it. Zach Gelb, CBS Sports Radio. You can listen to him on the radio.com app weeknight 6 to 10 on CBS Sports Radio. And again, also, you can listen to 106.7 The Fan anytime you want on said radio.com app. If you've missed the first hour plus of our show, go to the radio.com app, hit rewind, and you can listen to that or any other interview, the Junks, Grant and Danny. You can listen to it all on radio.com. You know, one thing Earl's been talking about on the updates, and he'll have another one coming up in about 7 or 8 minutes, and then we'll have Joe Beninati on the Capitals after the bottom of the hour, is this. The NFL, all sorts of reports came out that the stage for the draft is going to be at the Bellagio in the pond, or I guess it's called the pond. I don't know. The water right in front of the Bellagio, right? I mean, it's right on the Vegas Strip. I was at the Bellagio crying out loud when it first opened. I mean, so it's now, what, almost 20 years old, right? Beautiful place. You know, it's a little too fancy for my liking, but it's a beautiful place. The backdrop, just tremendous. And the optics are going to be awesome. Vegas is just going to be jumping between the NFL draft, it being Vegas, for God's sakes, and I'm sure the Golden Knights will be still in the playoffs at that point. It's just going to be electric. But here's what I was curious about, right? We all know the Raiders are going to, I think they're calling it Allegiant Stadium. They're all, you know, they're building it right behind Mandalay Bay. So the NFL, of course, has loosened its rein in terms of, like, oh, we, you know, Vegas, they, of course, they're going to Vegas, they're building a new stadium, they allowed the Raiders to move there, they're having the NFL draft. Yet, it's really interesting. I keep hearing on our radio station a Rocket Mortgage ad for Super Bowl Squares, and I think it's Gus Johnson that's doing the voice, I believe. And on this ad, it talks about how you can do this and do that and win a mortgage for life and all, and it sounds like a really cool promotion, right? And the ad in the disclaimer says, Rocket Mortgage, the official mortgage company of Super Bowl 54. Then it's followed up by, the NFL has nothing to do, you know, and I forget the exact line. The NFL has nothing at all to do with this commercial or this promotion. And I forget the exact language. So it's so weird because the NFL is doing everything they can to infiltrate Vegas, like the Golden Knights and hockey did, They are building a new stadium. They moved one of their charter franchises there. They are having their draft there. They're having people in moats and boats fly and saucer up to the podium so that they could bro-hug Roger Goodell. Yet, they eschew gambling. They don't want you to talk about gambling. They don't want you to talk about point spreads. I'm sure their skin crawls when Al Michaels drops a little bad beat info on Sunday Night Football, their baby. Yet they want nothing to do with gambling and why gambling has allowed the NFL, whether it be through fantasy sports and daily fantasy or straight up gambling through over-unders and point spreads. It's like, oh, no, we can't have that. We can't have Super Bowl squares, but we can have guys coming up out of the water and taking a little moat down the canal or a little boat down the canal to go bro hug with Roger Goodell at the draft. It's just so weird. Like, either embrace it and love it and marry it and do everything you can to say, listen, we all understand you're all a bunch of degenerate gamblers. We all understand you guys have more disposable money than you know what to do with. We all understand that gambling is at least 50% of our audience. That 50% of you dummies would not watch our product if not for gambling interests of some sort. And that includes, again, fantasy sports, DFS, however you want to paint it with a broad brush. And I would think 50% is light. I mean, I don't gamble. I don't bet. And I still watch the football. Okay? But that's it's part of my job and it's part of what I like to do. I don't love the NFL as much as I used to. But just embrace it. Don't be like, oh, we're the official Rocket Mortgage company of Super Bowl 54, but we nothing to do with the NFL. Please don't. The NFL doesn't think anybody has any. We can't have the NFL sanctioning any Super Bowl squares. We think 115 million people, which is not a real number, watches the Super Bowl each and every year. Because they just love football. They just love first downs and tens and holding penalties. They just love football and chips and dip. No, actually, 75, 80, 90 million, however many that are watching of 110 million or whatever, about that number, are watching because they want to win money. That's why they're watching. It's the same thing with the NCAA tournament. They don't care about David versus Goliath and all these stupid storylines that some in the media just hubble you to death with in March. Please, go away. Give me a break. Makes me want to throw up. Let's look at Belmont and how great that. Who was the pastor lady that was playing Loyola Chicago? Oh, what a great Cinderella. Cinderella has slipped. Nobody's watching it because of some lady. They're watching it because there's upsets and because there's brackets and there's office pool and there's nonstop gambling. They don't watch it for the basketball. Just like people aren't watching football for the football. They're watching it because they have money invested. So why not embrace it? If we're going to have the draft in the middle of a pond in Vegas, if we're going to let the Raiders build a palace behind Mandalay Bay and off of 15 in Vegas, and it is awesome. I drove past it 2 years ago, and it was cool. I mean, I've seen videos. I've seen saw John Gruden there yesterday. I mean, the place is going to be insane. Why not just embrace it? Everybody knows, Raj. Everybody knows. We know, you know, everybody knows. We're not dummies. Just embrace it. You can't tell me one client is an official sponsor of Super Bowl 54 and the NFL has nothing to do with it and doesn't sanction it. Get lost. What do you think the NFL is doing with Super Bowl 54? The NFL doesn't allow you to use the Super Bowl motto or logo or name or whatever for corporate value and gain unless they approve it. Unless you're a partner of theirs. It's just, I don't know, it's annoying. I don't know if it annoys anybody else, but it drives me crazy. All right, coming up next, I'll get off of this. Joe Beninati, and we'll talk about the Great Eight putting up eight in the last week, and he's eight away from 700. There's a lot of number symmetry that we'll go over with the television voice of the Washington Capitals, Joe Beninati, after Earl Forsey's latest Sports Flash.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, good to have you with us right here on a, what day is today? Tuesday afternoon in the nation's capital and beyond. Still chilly out there, but I guess it's supposed to warm up a little bit. Over the next coming days, we're kind of getting lucky, although we still got a long stretch through February and I guess early March. But if we can keep this going with no snow, no ice, and all that good stuff, you're feeling good. Speaking of ice, we always need ice at Capital One Arena. We always need hockey action. And when we need hockey action, even though there is none this week, we turn to the venerable television play-by-play voice of the Washington Capitals. It is Joe Beninati. He is presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable, and of course, as you know, business grows with PVI. You can follow him on Twitter at JoeBPXP. Hello, Joe B. How are you?
Where do all the seasons and winters go that I am now described as venerable? Where do they go?
Well, I don't
look at... Venerable's good. Venerable's very, very good.
Yeah.
It's just, goodness gracious.
You know the rooster.
Venerable is usually reserved for latter stages, too.
Well, I didn't mean it like that. I meant the long time.
I didn't think it as an insult.
Yeah.
I didn't. It's just, wow. Time flies.
I mean,
halfway through a season.
How long have you been doing this, Joe B.?
Professionally or with the Caps?
No, with the Caps.
Since 1994, my friend.
Pretty venerable. I mean,
venerable.
I mean,
I started. I was 28. I'm not so 28 anymore.
Right. How many games? Do you have any idea how many games you've called?
No,
like for the Caps?
Honestly, Locker loves to kid me about this, and Tommy Morris, our stage manager, they think I have the number tucked away in my mind. I truly don't. Between the Caps and the time with the NHL on Versus there for 6 years and other events that I do here and there, I haven't counted them all up, but I'm guessing that number would be venerable, too.
That's all right. You still look great in a suit, man. You're still slick.
I'm hanging in.
And it's always good to see you at Capital One Arena. Joe Beninati with us, again, presented by PVI Office Furniture here on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. All right, so let's get to this. Alex Ovechkin has had 8 goals in 3 games last week. He's now 8 goals away from 700, and I believe he would be the 8th player in NHL history to reach the 700 mark. That's a pretty good number symmetry type deal, isn't it?
Just spectacular, isn't it? And I'm running out of words. I really am. I know that there are still many more that we'll have to uncover to explain and describe what he's doing, but I run out of description sometime. It's fantastic. He's 34 years of age. He's been doing this for 15 years, and he can still put on a week like he did just last week to be the number one star of the week and do it in absolutely dominating fashion. And when his team really needed it, because, Chris, we've been talking about it, they haven't been playing collectively great as a unit for a while now. Their record, their numbers look awesome, and congratulations to them. They know there's still more work to do. I think they collectively as a group know that they have another level that they can go to, and they show it to you from time to time. The third period on Long Island comes to mind. That team is capable of those types of 20-minute stretches that they would love to get closer to 60-minute stretches, but when they need a leader to show and to pull and to grab the team by the shoulders and say, hey, follow me. More often than not, it's been number eight, and he was dazzling last week, and he keeps turning the clock back, so who knows how high he can climb.
And it's so weird, the way he scored all of these goals, I'm trying to go through them in my mind, right? That kind of flopping around second goal on Saturday at the Nassau Mausoleum, the empty netter, then against Carolina, he had one right off the faceoff from the top of the faceoff circle, then the other night against New Jersey, he had the one-timer feed from the office against... It's not like all of these are from the office and all of them are from the power play, and they're at big moments, too, and in some cases, he's the only guy scoring, i.e. last Monday night against Carolina.
The first goal that he scores against the Islanders to open the scoring in that game made it look like it was going to be a really good day for Washington. At the end of a shift, he still has enough left in the tank to stretch, gets a beautiful pass from Backstrom, and we know how he finishes. But I get your point. He's been doing it in a lot of different ways rather than just cranking up one-timers. I thought it was kind of cool to see Nationals first baseman Ryan Zimmerman out there in goal in one of the practices trying to stop Alex on the one-timer. Trust me, the one that Ovechkin put past Louis Domingue of the Devils was at warp speed compared to what he was throwing at Zim. But it's great to see the Caps and the Nats continue their friendship like that. But number eight is phenomenal. I knock wood every time that, you know, with good health and as long as he wants to play, maybe we are talking about something incredibly special with the likes of Wayne Gretzky at the end of it all. I'm not going to get the cart before the horse. There's a long way to go between now and then, but if he plays long enough, he just might do it.
You know, Joby, there was a lot of rumors, and it seems like the pendulum has swung now that they've won the Cup, and he's so dominant, you know, even more dominant than he's probably been. There was some momentum, I don't know, 5 years ago, by some people, and I'm not saying it was anybody, like, credible. Oh, he'll go to the KHL when the contract's up. It seems just the opposite now. That's still an option. We know he's not going to another team, and the Capitals will obviously try and recruit him to stay here and so on. What do you feel? Like, do you feel like the KHL and going back home is even an option at this point, or do you think it's Capitals or retirement and that's it?
Well, I guess to answer your question directly, at the end of this contract, I expect Alex to continue playing in the NHL. Mm-hmm. Am I going to rule him out forever not playing professionally at home? I wouldn't say that. That might be there down the road. Mm-hmm. Now, the biggest question for Caps fans is, what's the negotiation going to look like? What's the term going to look like for the future? I firmly believe that he wants to continue to play in the NHL after next season when the contract comes to an end, the one that was 13 years and $124 million. I firmly believe he wants to play in the NHL after that. Now, are we talking about a 2-year extension, a 4-year extension? Is he going to go all the way out to where Backstrom goes? I don't know. That's what remains to be seen. I do think that Russia is incredibly important to Alex. I know that. We all do, whether it be for the national team or what have you. But I think that's further down the road. His mindset is the Caps and winning another Stanley Cup, first and foremost.
Joe Beninati with us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. One more for you, Joe B. I know you're trying to enjoy a little bit of time off here, as are the Capitals. You know, of course, and I think Chad asked you this question last Tuesday because we had the Backstrom news. And you know, look, nobody wants to admit this, I don't think. But with the Backstrom deal done now and with Ilya Samsonov playing terrifically, if that's even a word, never mind the future for Braden Holtby because, I don't mean to put you in a tough spot, so I'll say it. I don't believe Braden will be back. But do you think that this will be awkward down the stretch here, especially if Samsonov becomes what, quite honestly, he's been in the last couple of weeks, which is a pretty much 50-50 split, if not slightly favoring Samsonov? Do you think it'll be uncomfortable or awkward, or because we went through this 2 years ago, not that much?
Bingo. There you go. After the last comma. Because we went through this 2 years ago, similarly, when Philip Grubauer became hot as a pistol and Braden was off of his game, I think the team and the players on it and the goalie coach and the head coach have all seen this before. And we saw where it resulted in 2018. And that's why I don't want to throw Braden Holtby over anytime soon. Braden Holtby is, this is, I believe it's a creature of habit, and that we've seen him start slowly in the past, and I've mentioned this to you and to Big Shooter. November, December, he comes on like a house on fire. January, February, there's that lull. March, April, he picks it back up, and I firmly expect him to do that, especially in this year when he's playing for a contract for the future. Oh, by the way, the young man who's in the stable with him is playing really, really well. And is forcing his hand and is forcing the Caps coaches to say, hey, why not Samsonov again? Why not Samsonov again? Braden knows how to deal with this. And I think the better Samsonov plays, it will force Braden to be better sooner because he's playing for his next contract, mm-hmm. whether it be here or elsewhere. I just think, don't be so quick to throw Braden Holtby away with all that experience and all those incredible seasons under his belt. If this is indeed the future, Samsonov playing right now in the present, he's never done it in the Stanley Cup playoffs. If he's still hot as a pistol at that time and you decide he's your goalie, I still want Holtby there right. as the fallback like he was for Grubauer in 2018, and we saw what he did with it. If that's the case, and Samsonov is what we've seen, and he's going to be that moving forward, the Caps goalie picture's in great hands. Don't throw Braden away so fast, though. Braden is a very, very good security blanket to have, and he'll improve. He'll pick his game back up. It may be just what it was a month ago, 6 weeks ago, slight adjustment in stance or a little bit change in how the play is coming to him. Scott Murray and Braden Holtby are smart guys. They'll figure it out. And then Braden will be pushing Ilya back and forth, and I think that's better for the team. They'll keep on getting collectively great goaltending from the two of them.
Yeah, I agree. Competition. I mean, especially at that position. Not that there isn't inherent competition, but maybe it can fuel one of them or both of them to be really good down the stretch here, and most importantly, in the playoffs. Joe B., one last thing before we let you go, and then you can get back to a little bit of break. If Locker ordered Chinese food for you guys in the booth on some random night and didn't offer you or ask you if you even wanted to participate, would you be pissed off? Would you be insulted?
Wait a minute. He's buying and he's not offering?
Well, I don't know if he's buying. Well, if he just bought it for himself.
He just ordered it.
Exactly.
And
just didn't ask you or Ryan Billy or whoever.
Well, that's just rude.
Right, exactly, right? That's so could you imagine rude. The Fruitcake Emporium doing something like that and not even asking the Rooster if he wanted a little wonton soup?
You've been excluded. That's just rude, boys. I don't know where this is coming from, but
very nice.
Just on the face of it, that's rude.
Not very nice. Thank you, Joe B. Love you.
Take care, guys.
All right, that's Joe Beninati right there, the television play-by-play voice of the Washington Capitals. You can follow him on Twitter at JoeBPXP, and he is presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable business grows with PVI. Yes, the Fruitcake Emporium has ordered Chinese food. Landfill doesn't care. He's not even acknowledging me. At least Brock gave me a dirty look. We'll examine and we'll get to the bottom of things here before 4 o'clock on The Fan. So I put the on-air guilt trip on Brock. Landfill hasn't even acknowledged my existence. He just doesn't care. If Dukes isn't here, who he's got to bow down to and get on his knees and say, yes, boss, thank you, sir. May I have another? Landfill just doesn't even look at me except to yell and scream and wave his arms and just hope that I go away and fall in a ditch somewhere, especially if he's got Chinese food. Sean, I can see you, like, lifting your head up there. Brock comes in during the break. He's, did you want some? Did you want, like, Chinese food? I said, well, like, I was literally thinking before the show, you know, it's cold. It's been cold, windy. Like, wonton soup is so awesome. It's so good, especially if it's piping hot, right? It's so good. A little soy sauce mixed in there. You get a little something-something with the wontons, right? You put in the crispy noodles, the fried noodles, or whatever it is. Wonton soup is just so criminally underrated. It's just awesome. It's better than fried rice. I don't want to say it's better than an egg roll, because an egg roll is really, really good. But Brock was like, do you want me to order you something? And I'm like, no, man. I'm like, you know, I can go and stop, pick it up. It would have been nice if the crew would have asked, hey, Rooster, we're ordering Chinese. Brock says, what? You came
listen,
in and said.
Listen, the place that I go to, they allow you to order online. Mm-hmm. They know me because I order from them a lot. And it's lightning fast. So
is it the place right across South Capitol?
I don't
on
know.
The corner there?
I don't, it, they show up in the lobby of the building, and that's
so you don't know where they're.
I have no idea where they start from. They could start from. They could start from across the street. They could start from the planet Mars. I
mean,
don't
if
know.
They're quick. It's got to be obviously somewhere pretty.
They're somewhere in the neighborhood. Yeah. I would assume. However, yeah. I don't know for
sure. However,
the point being is that if you need some wonton soup. My guy will be back with it pretty quickly.
Oh, you have a guy?
No, I have the guy who delivers it to us. But
the guy.
I felt bad. I guess it was a very quick spur of the moment thing. It's not an elaborate planning,
right.
Ordering, trying to get make
it,
sure
it wasn't
that,
a plot to leave me out.
No, absolutely.
I mean, I know
not.
You genuinely care. I know Sean genuinely cares. Landfill again. Could not be any more dismissive of me and treats me like a piece of garbage.
Look, Russell, all you do all day is complain about how expensive everything is, how everything doesn't have any money. And this is something you have to spend money on to get it delivered. And they also put a bunch of sugar in Chinese food. And I know how much you hate sugar.
Right.
And I figured you'd be completely against it.
They don't put sugar in wonton soup, you dummy.
Wouldn't shock me if they do.
Well, they don't. I would taste it. I would know. Sugar in... Sweet and sour sauce?
But
yeah.
But see, now we've gotten into the place where, you know, debating ingredients and all of that, that's where it's not a quick spur of the moment thing.
No.
And you did point out earlier, you said, I have to go back down. I brought my lunch.
Right.
So when someone says that to me, it kind of.
Understood.
I know how that is because I know I am the world's most, like, when it comes to shopping, I am an impulse purchaser.
Right.
To the point where, like, I even know it. Like, I'll see that they put hazelnuts in Snickers, and I say, I don't really want that. I just want it because it has a different packaging.
Because it's new and it's different and it's unique.
Exactly. And then I'll walk around, and then by the time I get back to the front of the grocery store, I have rationalized in my mind that that's why I'm going to purchase it. So when someone offers, if I say I have food, and then someone's like, hey, we're going to order something, I'll always end up buying French fries that I don't even want.
Right.
So
right.
I try
no, I
not
that.
To do that to someone else.
I get that. So you and Sean just got an egg roll each. Is that how it worked? And Landfill got the full what?
Some,
what did he get?
Chicken with red chilies or something.
What did you get, Landy?
I got a chicken and chili sauce or something like that. It's amazing.
How do you not even know what you ordered, Landfill?
I just looked at the menu and I saw chicken and chili and I'm like, I'll take that right there.
So it's not like the fried chicken. It's like the, like the boneless chunks or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it's like a chili type sauce.
Yes. It's
little
fantastic.
Little fried rice.
Sure.
He got the
egg
fried
roll?
Rice.
I got the fried. I didn't get an egg roll. I got some soup.
How did you not get an egg roll, Landfill? That's.
I got some soup instead.
Did you get
egg roll,
wonton see, or egg drop or what?
I got
what,
miso.
Ugh. What is miso?
It's a Japanese
like
soup.
Japanese soup, right?
This place, they span a large portion of the globe. You can get some Thai food there. You get some. There's like the shrimp tempura. So it's places from, you know, the Asian continent, the continent of Asia. So I'm not very good at geography. Apparently, I'm from Chicago as well.
I mean, if Chad was here, you know what he would have said right there, right?
I'm sure he would have called me an idiot, insulted me, but that's fine.
Exactly.
I sounded like
Whereas
one.
Whereas I love you, Brock, so you can just keep talking if
well,
you want.
Well, if someone is to say geography, they should be insulted. Either way, the point being, if you need an egg roll and some wonton soup to get you to the end of this show,
I will
make sure that happens.
I really don't need it. I just couldn't resist taking the jab with Joe B.
Of course
B.
you don't need it. You don't want it. It would cost money. It would be like $4 to get
Landfill,
it.
I don't know how you eat out 15,000 times a week. I don't know how you do it.
It's like
$10
Have
you ever cooked
once.
A meal? Ever?
We've cooked together.
Yeah, we cooked together.
Who?
The two of us,
Brock
we've,
and I.
We've made slow cooker meals in that very
that
studio.
That doesn't count if you open it? Up something in a package and drop it into a into
now,
an air fryer.
See, now that's the air fryer is different than the slow cooker. The slow cooker involves raw vegetables that
he's
cook.
Done that.
Yes.
I know you've done that.
Yes,
I didn't realize
we
he was involved
that.
In that.
Landfill is very talented. You just don't know. It's hard for you to see it because he's always insulting you. So I don't blame you for not picking up on some of his more intricate and nuanced talents, but they are there.
All right. So on Twitter, because most of you have been yelling at me and angry at me, I thought we could have some fun with this. Right or wrong that the boys didn't ask if I wanted Chinese food and instead just ordered it themselves and didn't include me in it. I thought we were a team. I thought we were friends, but apparently not when it comes to ordering Chinese food on a Tuesday afternoon. Right or wrong, 800, say, well, don't call. At WrestleMania 621, at WrestleMania 621. When we return, Rick Snyder of thefandc.com, and he does some stuff with me. He wrote an interesting column about free agent quarterbacks, and he also wrote an interesting column about the Wizards. I want to peruse through both of those and see if we can get something cooking on the phone lines here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.